We begin today with a study of a different book, a very special book in the New Testament, and that is the Epistle of 2 Timothy. We're going to begin by reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 and reading down through verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is the last letter that Paul wrote. This is Paul's final book in the New Testament. And we know that because of what he says in the last chapter. Do you remember these famous words? Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul is in prison. He is awaiting execution as he writes this book. And he knows that his death is imminent. He knows that he is soon going to die. That's why he said in the next verse, that's perhaps even more familiar, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." Now, we've sometimes said that the book of 2 Timothy and the book of 2 Peter are similar in that both Paul and Peter knew that they were going to die soon. We know that as they wrote these letters, that they were writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit used their human experience and sometimes even their human emotions. And you find that coming through in the book of 2 Timothy. You find that Paul is constantly urging Timothy. He is constantly exhorting him to be true to the faith and to endure persecution and hardship. You find that the Apostle Paul is writing on a very personal level with Timothy. And if we just try to put ourselves in Paul's shoes, I believe that we can relate to this book and learn even more from this book. For instance, if you were writing a letter to your loved ones, your friends, and other people who would read it, and you knew that you were soon to die and that this would be the last thing that you would write, what would you say in that letter? What would you talk about? If you keep in mind that that was Paul's situation as he writes this book, albeit by inspiration, I believe that you'll appreciate it more, and I believe that you'll get even more out of this book than you would otherwise. Now then, let's look at the text that we've already read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verses 1 and 2. We have Paul's greetings, where he identifies himself as Paul the Apostle. And then in verse 2, he's writing to Timothy, this young preacher, whom he calls his dearly beloved son, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Timothy was a son to him. Beginning in verse 3, Paul tells us some things about Timothy's personal life, about his feelings for Timothy and Timothy's feelings for Paul, and also about Timothy's family and his background and history. In verse 3, Paul said that he had served God from his forefathers. Paul, like some of these other Jews, could trace their dedication to God and their belief in God back to their forefathers. And Paul goes on to talk about that even more in verse 5. But I want you to notice what he says in verses 3 and 4 about his relationship to Timothy. He says that he prayed for Timothy night and day, that he did this continually. That shows the closeness of Paul and Timothy. But also, he talks in verse 4 about Timothy's tears. They were separated at this point. And Paul longed to see him. And Timothy, of course, longed to see Paul. And I want to make two observations about what Paul is saying here. Number one, Paul is not afraid to express his feelings to Timothy about how he felt about him. Number two, Paul didn't say this about everybody. This was a very close relationship, and Paul even said in Philippians 2, verses 19 through 21, that he didn't have anybody else that he could depend on and rely on like he did Timothy. And then Paul tells us even more about Timothy's background and why he was, at least to some extent, the good man that he was. The Bible says in verse 5 that Paul called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was in Timothy. The word unfeigned in the King James Version means unhypocritical. It means sincere. One of the high marks, one of the great compliments to Timothy in the Bible is that he was very sincere. He was not a deceiver. He was not a hypocrite in any sense. This young man was very sincere and very dedicated. And what Paul says is that that unfeigned, that is, that sincere faith that was in Timothy, was first in his mother and his grandmother. And here we find that the Bible tells us what their names were. He says that same kind of sincere faith was first in your grandmother, and then she passed that same kind of faith down to her daughter, who was Timothy's mother. So we have three generations of Jews that are being talked about here. And the faith, the true faith, was passed down from generation to generation. We know that every generation makes its own choice, and every individual makes his or her own choice. The good thing here is that Lois chose, this grandmother chose, to do what was right, to believe in God and be sincere. Her daughter, Eunice, also chose to be sincere in her faith, and she taught her son to be sincere, and he took to it. He believed in God, and he was very sincere. So these people did their job in the home. Lois taught her daughter, Eunice, the Bible. She taught her daughter to believe in God. And then her daughter had a son named Timothy, and she taught him the Bible. She taught him the Scriptures. We know that because in this same book, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, Paul told Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Well, who taught him the Holy Scriptures? Well, that had to be his mother and perhaps his grandmother if she was alive at that time. There's something else about Timothy's family that we know that makes us appreciate him even more and his mother even more. We find something recorded in Acts 16, verses 1 and 2, that we don't read anywhere else in the Bible. And that is that Timothy's mother was a Jewess. We know that. But his father was not. His father was a Greek. For some reason, she married a Greek man. So the teaching that Timothy received when he was growing up, the Bible training that Timothy received, came from his mother and perhaps his mother and grandmother. The sincere Jews, the dedicated Jews in Paul's day and before Paul's time, gave a lot of attention to teaching their children the law of Moses. As a matter of fact, Josephus, a Jewish historian in the first century, said these words about how diligently these Jews taught their children. He said, "How firmly we have given credit to these books," that is, these books of the Old Testament, as we call them today, "of our own nation is evident by what we do. For during so many ages as have already passed, no one has been so bold as either to add anything to them or to take anything from them or to make any change in them. But it has become natural to all Jews immediately and from their very birth to esteem these books to contain divine doctrines and to persist in them and, if occasion be, willingly to die for them." Josephus also said, "Our principal care of all this is to educate our children well, and we think it to be the most necessary business of our whole life to observe the laws that have been given us and to keep those rules of piety that have been delivered down to us." He writes further, "For our people, if anybody do but ask any one of them about our laws, he will more readily tell them all then he will tell his own name. And this in consequence of our having learned them immediately, as soon as ever we became sensible of anything, and of our having them, as it were, engraven on our souls. These Jews took the training of their children seriously. We're talking, of course, about the truly dedicated Jews in Paul's time. Not all the Jews were sincere and dedicated. Not all the Jews taught their children the way that they should have. And not all the children that were taught grew up to practice what they had been taught. But Timothy did. Timothy had been taught, and Timothy lived these things out. That's why Paul said that he was unhypocritical, that he was sincere in his faith that had been passed down from generation to generation. When we think about this grandmother teaching her daughter, who in turn taught her son, how could Lois, the grandmother of Timothy, have ever imagined the good that her teaching her daughter would do? How could Timothy's mother have ever envisioned how much he would accomplish in his life by being this great gospel preacher? This is a powerful example of the influence of teaching the Bible in the home. Again, I understand that every child makes his own choice. Some receive it, some don't, but the power is there, and that power is in the Word of God. And also, there is great power in the influence of a godly example in the home. In this case, Timothy's mother, although his father was not of the Jewish religion, his mother was, and he followed the faith of his mother and his grandmother. These Jewish women had followed the teaching of a passage found in Psalm 78. Listen very carefully to Psalm 78, beginning in verse 1, and notice what the Bible says that the Jews were to do with their teaching. They were to pass it down from generation to generation. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 1, says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." This is exactly what these godly Jewish women did. And without these women, we would not have the story of Timothy as we read it in the Bible.